Today, the Ghost Town. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and properties with a distinctively Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wilkes. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Nice to see you come back. I know you've been jolly busy the last few weeks, so it's great to catch up.
Yeah, no, I apologise. I've been travelling around New Zealand, which has been a good opportunity to see a few things and to get a little bit more footage for our audience to have a little look at. And we've got a few things to talk about today, so we should have some fun.
Great. Now, I look forward to it. And there is a lot going on over there, as there is in most other places too. So let's get started.
Yeah, well, I've been back on the road again and had the opportunity to go back to Tauranga, which is, I suppose, the scene of one of our early posts, the out and about in, oh, sorry, what was it? Property downturn out and about in sunny New Zealand. And well, when I visited back there in November, there was a lot of construction going on all around the periphery of Tauranga and the main centre. Huge developments going on in places like Pais Pa, big development in the lakes, there's developments out in Omakaroa. And then also the city centre developments, which were starting. And I was looking at the time, just seeing how many new units were being constructed, few big retirement complexes as well, and just thought, well, this is an awful lot of building going on for a town that, you know, it's had a growing population. It's been New Zealand's fastest growing city over the last few years, but there were signs already that there were, start of the summer market last year, that things were not shifting. And I thought I'd take the opportunity to go back up there. I was going up there for other work and had a little wander around and a little look at the town centre in particular. And I've sent you some footage, Martin, which unfortunately the sound quality wasn't brilliant, but maybe we can voice over with this.
Yes, okay. Well, we'll put the footage up and, as we talk. But my sense is that things are definitely, going backwards there, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre. I mean, I was there in meetings and then I left and had a walk around Tauranga Central sort of 5 o'clock on a Monday evening. And it's a time that's not so far after the hours of work that you'd expect people to be around. But it was just a ghost town. There was nobody really sort of in the main centre. A lot of the shops obviously closed at 5 o'clock. But I was just astonished at how much empty retail space there was in the town. You walk along some of the main roads that go down to the waterfront, and it's just absolutely gobsmacked by how much empty retail space there was. And there were sections where you would walk down and you'd have maybe three or four or five empty units in a row. And now this is prime sort of retail space. And then went out for dinner, tried to find somewhere where there was more than one person on a Monday night. And I appreciate it's not holiday season, so you don't expect it to be full of tourists at this time of the year, albeit that will start picking up in a month or so. But I struggled to find a bar or a restaurant where I was on my own. I wouldn't be lonely. I eventually found one on the waterfront, and it was interesting because this area I'd actually spent time in a couple of years ago on holiday, and it was. It was buzzing. It was December, and there was a lot of activity, a lot of people. There seems to have been a few of the hospitality places that have closed down, and there's also been a little bit of stuff that's been demolished, and where the boarding's up, but it doesn't look like anything's going. So people are trying to rent out space or sell space that they haven't yet put a spade in the ground. They've knocked over whatever was there before, but they haven't actually gone to the next step. And it was. I think it's a real indictment of the challenges that I think Tauranga is going to have from a perspective of the housing market and the tight nature of all the debt that's been accumulated into the construction sector. And construction sector is where we are seeing our major credit growth in New Zealand at the moment. We had another record August for development consents around the country, and that's gathering pace. But it was quite phenomenal, just the number of empty units, and at the same point they're knocking down central areas, and there's plans for another big complex in the middle of town, And I'm looking and thinking, well, you don't really need it. You've got so much empty commercial space already that to go and bother building something that's not needed just seems like a waste of time in my view. I've read reports that, you know, people are saying, well, the reason the high street is empty is because of all the roadworks that have been going on around the centre. But I don't think you can blame the roadworks for the extent of empty commercial premises. And this has a knock on because New Zealand is this amalgamation of towns and cities that are quite a long way away from each other. And each town very much dependent on its own credit growth and the, you know, the increase in the debt to go and service the payment for all the businesses that work in the area. The logging industry, which Tauranga is one of the ports where the logs come in and they go out. There's a lot of stock that was sat in the harbour. And these are, I guess, little signs that, you know, maybe we're not shipping as much as we were previously. So, yeah, when you look at what's going on, you can't see anything really other than a bit of a headache coming for that particular market.
Okay, so going back to that retail discussion, were these new retail spaces, in other words, new developments, or were they older shops that were vacant, or a combination of the two?
Combination of two. I mean, a lot of the old high street shops, they've been there for many, many years. And if you want to show the walk around, you can see I'm there at dawn the following day. And I thought, well, I'll take the opportunity to get some footage. Unfortunately, I didn't have my headset, so the sound quality is not brilliant on all of it. It was quite funny. The birds woke up at dawn. You get this lovely view out over the harbour. But it did sound like a scene from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah, that's right. All the birds descending and attacking. And the thing about this, of course, is, and it's actually a very interesting, if you like, bellwether, right? So if you take Australia at the moment, right, we know that we've got some significant issues in retail in Australia too. And, you know, I'm in one of the regional centres here. And recently we've started to see a number of shops shutting. Right, and these are shops that have actually been around for years and years and have actually done reasonably good trade, but something has changed. It changed about 6 to 9 months ago, and the retail momentum is now crushing, and we're seeing more and more empty shops, full lease. The lease rates are still quite high, so people are still trying to get quite large returns on them, but nobody's actually able to make it work. And I was talking to someone the other day who basically said we've got three problems. The first is there is a lack of retail demand. In other words, people are not just buying, right? And that's coming through in all the numbers in Australia. But secondly, the lease costs are actually still very high, and they were set when things were much more buoyant, and therefore economically you can't afford it. But third, it's also the rates and the other running costs of owning a retail space, and they have gone through the roof. And you put that together, and it's just commercially impossible to make it work now.
Yeah, well, I think in New Zealand we've got a lot of Ma and Pa investors who've gone and bought these retail premises. So a lot of them have leveraged into this during the good times, and they were taking some fairly good rental yields. But now you've got so much stock. The competition for tenants must be incredibly high. I mean, I counted, I think, about 30 odd units just on two roads, where you've got the reasonable size shop front would suit a small business, and it was just reminiscent of everything that I saw in regional UK going through 2009, 10, 11, 12, where these shops got closed down essentially. There's a big pressure in the UK to turn empty commercial buildings in the centre into luxury apartments or places for people to go and live in. And that was quite a common thing. There was a lot of relaxation over the change of use of office space in central areas to turn them back into residential housing. Now, New Zealand's different because a lot of this stuff just isn't suitable for turning into residential. And because it's often single level or one level, maybe with some offices above it, the opportunity to do that is really quite limited, unless you then go through the cost of, well, bowling it over and building again, which does cost an awful lot of money. They're not as easily transferable into the residential market. Now, when I remember visiting sort of the peripheral areas of Manchester and Liverpool and going outside Newcastle and Sunderland, you go to some of the smaller towns there, And every shop turned into a pound store. Anyone trying to sell any bit of bric-a-brac. And the only people who could really make things work were the charity shops who, because they were charity shops, didn't have to pay the same rates. So you'd end up with, you know, temporary charity shops turning up for 6 months here, 12 months there, whatever. And the high street just ended up looking a mess. So I think that Tottenham has got some challenges ahead. And my spy up in Tottenham I spoke to him on Tuesday evening after having been up there and said, look, you know, is there any chance you could pop to the auction again on Thursday? So he did that. And this is the Eves auction on the 5th of September. So I'll send this over. But there were 11 lots up for sale, Martin. And it was, again, a return to the library auction room. First lot, normally this is the way they go. They go with something that's low value, affordable, and is normally the one that they think is going to spark the most energy in the room. Just two bidders. Final bid was at 565,000. It sold. Lots 2, 3, 4, and 5 didn't get a single bid, not a whisper. He was saying that people were starting to look a bit shocked. In fact, he said again, more owners of property in the room and more agents than there were buyers present and bidding. Lot 6, one bidder plus a vendor bid because you had this vendor bidding against one person. I never understood why one person would want to compete with themselves, but they do it. And that was called in at 670, but was sold by negotiation at 681. Lot 7, no bids, passed in. Lot 8, one bid, but passed in. Lot 9, lot 10, lot 11, nothing, not a single whisper. So of the 11 auctions that my good friend went and spied on for us, 8 of them didn't get a single bid. And when you look at it, the only two that really did were the lower value properties, so the ones to tempt the first time buyer into the market, and the ones that if you've got a reasonable combined household income, you can go and afford. So that's a sign of challenge in Tauranga. I think that one of the things that they're experiencing is that because they've built some big housing developments out on the periphery, and they're trying to build shopping centres, supermarkets to service those new developments, it's sucking the money away from the centre and the central area, which really, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was a wonderful place to go and visit as a tourist, is now looking really, really scruffy. And that is going to affect whether or not that area is deemed a nice place to go on holiday. As I look at it and think, well, no, I can't be bothered. It just looks a mess.
So it sounds to me as though the ghost town is not just a temporary thing, then it's more a structural change that's going on. And I guess that's quite worrying.
Yeah, well, they've got to try and work out what they're doing very, very quickly, because if they keep building these peripheral sites with so much stuff going on, and you know, some of those peripheral sites, all the houses are there, lots of them are empty. They have maybe built something from a supermarket perspective or whatever, but there's a lot of other stuff that hasn't really ever got started, because there doesn't seem to be enough cash in the market to keep everything going together.
Mm. Well, we'll watch this one, Joe. I think it'll be quite interesting to see how it plays out over the next year or two, because I think this, as I said, is, you know, a potentially interesting bellwether of when things are not going quite as well. Often it's centre of towns and retail that actually take the hit.
Yeah, initially.
Good to talk to you, Joe. See you next time.
All the best, Martin.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.